The Neurotic Chronicles, Part 2, by Edward Champion. How does one prepare for a stranger? What sets one stranger apart from another? Does one stranger have greater priority because he happens to live in your building, or because he's courageous enough to knock on your door at an ungodly hour wearing a nightgown? That sort of action takes either guts or an almost pathological devotion to the absurd. In Wilson's case, I could respect his spontaneous decision, even if I wasn't entirely clear about his motivations. Because the way I figured it, the two of us had moved into this block of apartments for similar reasons. Even though I hadn't talked with him for more than a couple of minutes at a time, I had always had a hunch about Wilson. The man seemed too normal, too reserved. Men like that generally have something going on. Most of the time, it's a private obsession, such as stamp collecting, or maybe a funny idea about black helicopters. I should point out that my flat was on the second floor, offering a revealing window view of anyone who went through the front door. I saw things. Sometimes I heard them. There was the neighbor just below me who shrieked when he turned the key to his mailbox and found himself drowning in a cascading torrent of junk mail. And there was Rita, my immediately adjacent next-door neighbor, who was an oversexed young woman, and if my internal chronometer wasn't on the brink, she would soon start fucking the brains out of her latest conquest, just to show us all in the building that she had certain priorities in life, and that she wasn't shy about taking the proverbial bull by the horns. You had to respect that. We smiled at each other when passing in the hall. But Wilson, he was entirely different. Before he knocked at my door, from what little I knew of the guy, I felt a relief to know that there was at least one other person in my building who applied a certain subtlety to his exhibitionism. He was roughly my age, perhaps a little older. His hairline was as hopeless as mine, but I suspect he hadn't yet realized that vanishing follicles were the least of a man's worries. For a real man started weeping when his temples started to gray. When Wilson entered the building, I saw his left hand frequently nursing the flaxen tuft just above his chronically sweating forehead, as if groping for the answer to Fermat's theorem, or preparing himself for the horrors of Week 9 television, as so many in my neighborhood did. Most of the time, I had seen Wilson wearing a drab, gray windbreaker, an accoutrement intended for hiding. He didn't really communicate it with his body language, but I got the sense that he was used up, depleted in some way. They'd bleed him dry and taken away the last of his happiness, but Wilson wasn't the type to give up easily. I suppose that was one of the many reasons he knocked at my door. I stepped into the shower, figuring that I should spruce myself up a bit, seeing as how I was about to leave the house, but to be perfectly candid, my water pressure's startling dependability outweighed any immediate hygienic concerns. You see, a shower at my place involved a jism of squelched water through the pipes, and then you got pleasantly pelted with hot jets of repressed water, only too happy to accommodate. Because of this, you don't have to be a whiz kid in human nature to know that my shower stall was a seminal place for self-pleasure. A man can do a lot in 20 minutes, but even though it was getting close to dawn, this was not the time to stir up my cock, so instead I thought of Foe, hearing my stomach gurgle in time to the running water. What was it exactly? It had to be better than diner food, better than top ramen, nectar of the gods when stacked next to a can of Wolfgang Puck soup. But I knew that Foe involved noodles thrown into a soup with some vegetables, possibly bok choy. But before I can get my head straight and offer my final answer, I heard my next-door neighbor start up her soprano with her latest stallion. It didn't help that her bedroom shared the wall to my bathroom. I turned the water to cold. When I stepped out of the shower, I looked down. Detumescence wasn't in the cards. Just as I was about to consider another cold shower to shake off my despondency, I looked up. Wilson was there, wearing a crisp lavender suit and an ascot. I'm not sure what disturbed me more, Wilson's sartorial choice or the continued moans of pleasure behind the wall. "How the hell did you get in?" I screamed, grabbing a towel to cover my elephantine lower anatomy.
"I'm sorry. The door was open. You may not realize it, but I'm in love with that woman."
"Who?"
"The lady currently enjoying herself behind your walls."
"Rita?"
"Yes, Rita. You see, I have heard her very often myself. At first, her pleasures gnawed on me, and I felt guilt and anger. But I soon realized how beautiful she was. You see, son, that is the sound of a woman enjoying every last moment, getting a good deal of fun out of the way so that she can settle down with someone. Maybe somebody like me. Well, how do you know that? Have you talked to her? No, we just smile at each other in the halls. At this point, Rita let off a wild, peremptory howl of pleasure. I looked at Wilson, who raised his eyebrow. We both knew what to do. She's done.
Well, of course, everything does have an end. Now get some clothes on and let's go get some chow.